Okay. If you have your Bible with you, you can turn to 1 Kings 21. We're continuing on our series, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. But before we get into that, sorry, I'll take that microphone away. Before we get into the good, the bad, and the ugly, I just want to check with you. You see, in the course of your everyday life, you see when something happens, when a disruption comes to your world, or somebody does something that you really dislike or that really annoys you. Say you had a good idea and you go to them and they say, "Got a good idea." No. Do you ever get grumpy? Now, looking round at you, I'm sure you're far too... You guys wouldn't get grumpy. You wouldn't get all annoyed inside or anything. I tell you, it's a part of everyday life, getting grumpy, getting annoyed. Situations. One's completely out of your control, out of other people's controls, just arise. We could have an important meeting on tomorrow morning, or we've an important cup of coffee to have, and you go out and your taxi doesn't turn up, you get a flat tire or something happens, and you get so grumpy. Well, we're going to be dealing with a situation today where King Ahab gets grumpy because he doesn't get his own way, and we're going to be reading from 1 Kings. I just want to remind us, of course, when we're looking at the good, the bad, and the ugly, we're looking at King Ahab. Who's the bad? We're looking at Elijah, who's the good. And by the way, the difference between these guys, it isn't anything intrinsic in them. It's the fact that Elijah chooses to listen to God and to follow what God says. And King Ahab doesn't. King Ahab ignores God and very often walks in the opposite direction. That's what makes him bad. And that's the other side of that is what makes Elijah good. And then we have the ugly, which is Jezebel. And we're going to see her and her true for who she truly is tonight. And it's really the sort of how she is a representative of so much in this world. The ways of this world, the corruption of this world, the ugliness of this world. And you don't have to have your TV on for very long to see that the world can be a very ugly place. And Jezebel very often represents that. We aren't saying, as we say every week, she's probably a very good-looking woman from hints that you get in the Bible. She certainly tried to make herself that way. But it's the way she operates, and we're going to see that tonight. But let's read a few verses. What I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to read just a few verses at a time and comment on them as we go. And we're going to start by reading the first four verses while I just get a little drink here. Sometime later, there was an incident involving a vineyard belonging to Naboth the Jezreelite. The vineyard was in Jezreel, close to the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab said to Naboth, "Let me have your vineyard to use for a vegetable garden, since it is close to my palace. In exchange, I will give you a better vineyard, or, if you prefer, I will pay you whatever it is worth." But Naboth replied, "The Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my fathers." So Ahab went home, sullen and angry, because Naboth the Jezreelite had said, "I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers." He lay in his bed, sulking, and refused to eat. Here's a grumpy man for you. He had a great idea. And I don't, you sort of think, he's a king and that's a practical solution. He certainly wasn't being unfair. He said, it's just handy. I could have a lovely vegetable garden there. And what I'll do is I'll get you an even better vineyard somewhere else. Or if you prefer, I'll give you the money for what it's worth. I don't think King Ahab here was you know, he wasn't being particularly evil or anything. It's a pretty normal situation. But Naboth said, no. No. I'm not going to give up the inheritance of my fathers. There's all sorts of reasons why he could have said that. But that's not part of our, that's not important to our story. Here we have King Ahab, this great idea that he's just had. You know, I can imagine him. You can imagine him at his palace looking out going, flip, I could get my guys to make that into a beautiful vegetable patch. That would be just perfect. And then, you know, if so-and-so turns up for dinner, he could just nip, the cooks could nip out and get all the veg. We could have a feast. He's got a great idea. He's probably run it all through in his head. And then Naboth says no. And he goes home grumpy. And I think the fact, I'm not sure what your translation might say. Certainly in the NIV, it says that he lay in his bed sulking and refused to eat. Grumpy man, sulking. Now, none of us would sulk. Sure, we wouldn't. We'd never be grumpy. I don't know why he didn't eat. That just, that to me, that just is ridiculous. But anyway, he wasn't eating. So it's a normal, the thing I want you to realize is this is a normal enough situation so far. Then I'm going to read on verses 5 and 6. His wife Jezebel came in and asked him, why are you so sullen? Why won't you eat? And he answered her, because I said to Naboth the Jezreelite, sell me your vineyard, or if you prefer, I will give you another vineyard in its place. But he said, I will not give you my vineyard. So here we have Ahab in this situation, and his wife comes home, Jezebel, the one that we have labeled the ugly. And this is where the situation is now going to take a change. This is where it changes. Listen to what Jezebel says in verse 7. Jezebel, his wife, said, is this how you act as king over Israel? Get up and eat. Cheer up. I'll get you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. Basically, she comes in and goes, hey, you're the king. You should have whatever you want. Cheer up. I'm going to get you exactly what you want. Things don't have to be like this. There's another way. I'll get you what you want. And you see, to me, this is almost the voice of every temptation in the world. It's that voice that comes in and says, it doesn't have to be like this. I can improve your situation. You know, you just have to turn on TV. Every single advert on TV is promising you to improve your life. Your life doesn't have to be like this. You can, you know, do this, do that, buy this, buy that. We're going to improve your life for you. Things don't have to be like this. It's the catch that gets us every time. And it's added to because Ahab is the king of Israel. And to a certain extent, you know, kings in those days could do a lot more of what they wanted and have what they wanted. But the voice comes in, it doesn't have to be like this. I will give you what you want. And let's see what the ugly solution is. So, she wrote letters in Ahab's name and placed his seal on them and sent them to the elders and nobles who lived in Naboth's city with him. In those letters, she wrote, proclaim a day of fasting and seat Naboth in a prominent place among the people. But seat two scoundrels opposite him and have them testify that he has cursed both God and the king. Then take him out and stone him to death. So the elders and nobles who lived in Naboth's city did as Jezebel directed in the letter she had written to them. They proclaimed a fast and seated Naboth in a prominent place among the people. Then two scoundrels came and sat opposite him and brought charges against Naboth before the people, saying, Naboth has cursed both God and the king. So they took him outside the city and stoned him to death. Then they sent word to Jezebel, Naboth has been stoned and is dead. As soon as Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned to death, she said to Ahab, "Get up and take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, that he refused to sell you. He is no longer alive but dead." When Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, he got up and went down to take possession of Naboth's vineyard. There we have the solution. Get rid of Naboth. And it's quite a... it's an ugly solution, but it's quite inventive, I thought. You know, that's typical of somebody like Jezebel. You know, it all appears, on the outside, it all appears quite good. There's a few people in the know, there's a few people will have heard what went on, but in the name of King Ahab, Naboth was wrongly murdered. There's something awful funny over here. It's quite all right, don't worry. I'm just checking my fly up. Bogey's hanging up my nose. It's my But listen, this is quite a drastic. This is quite a drastic step that Jezebel has taken. But you see, when we hear that voice that says, "It doesn't have to be like this. You can take matters into your own hands," it'll not be as drastic as this. You'll not be getting somebody murdered. But if we choose to ignore God's way in a situation, we are choosing the ugly way. We're choosing the way of the world. We're choosing to listen to the voice of the world. You know, let's think about it in some little, very vivid way. We're skint. We've got no money. We want to buy something good, but we've got no money, and we're grumpy. And all of a sudden, we see a 50 quid hanging out of someone's back pocket. We just think, well, that'll solve my problem. As soon as we choose the ugly way, it has consequences. We're choosing a path. We're choosing to ignore God's way in that situation. And so often we can choose to do that because it is so easy for the enemy to come in and tempt us to walk away from God's path, especially at times when we're grumpy, especially at times when we're in a bad mood about something. We are so vulnerable when we're like this, when we haven't got our way, or when we're in a situation that's unpleasant, when we're suffering in one kind of way or another, whether it's just suffering or unjust, whatever the form of suffering, we're vulnerable to temptation to take matters into our own hand and ignore God's way. See, there's a common thought that God does these things, God has these rules, because he just wants to curtail our fun. We sort of, like I grew up thinking God was pretty much a spoil sport. He was a party pooper. He sat down and went, right, what's going to annoy them the most? Oh, let's write that into my word. And that he was doing things to annoy us and to make life difficult for us. It took a long time for me to overcome that and realize that God truly, deeply loved me. And when he had prohibitions, when he said, "Dave, don't do that," it was for my good. It was because he loved me. And not only because he loved me, but because he loved you lot. And so when he says, don't go around talking about people behind their back, it's for my good and it's for your good. Don't go around criticizing people. It's for your good. It's for my good. It's because God loves us deeply and wants us to prosper in all that we do. The truth is, the lie is that God wants to curtail our fun and he's a spoil sport and he's boring. The truth is that God loves us and he wants the very best for us. It is for that reason he said, "You shall not kill." And that is that Ahab and Jezebel ignored. But of course, you go to the New Testament and you find out it isn't just killing people. It's about hating people in your heart. One of the things about the ugly is it always has consequences. And tonight's consequence is one of those, you will reap what you sow consequences. Let's read about it. When Elijah is the lucky man here who brings the news about the consequences to King Ahab. Verse 17, then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite. Go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, who rules in Samaria. He's now in Naboth's vineyard, where he has gone to take possession of it. Say to him, this is what the Lord says. Have you not murdered a man and seized his property? Can you imagine? You know, the king has murdered somebody, and God sends you to go and say, you've just murdered a man. Then say to him, this is what the Lord says. In the place where dogs licked up Naboth's blood, dogs will lick up your blood. Yes, yours. Ahab said to Elijah, so you've found me, my enemy. I have found you, he answered, because you have sold yourself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord. I am going to bring disaster on you. I will consume your descendants and cut off from Ahab every last male in Israel, slave or free. I will make your house like that of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and that of Baasha, son of Ahijah. Those are two previous kings that the same has happened to, that all their descendants have been cut off or killed. And he's doing that because you have provoked me to anger and have caused Israel to sin. And also concerning Jezebel, the Lord says, dogs will devour Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Dogs will eat those belonging to Ahab who die in the city, and the birds of the air will feed on those who die in the country. Elijah is pronouncing a judgment upon Ahab that he's going to reap what he has sown. Just as Naboth, and this is really the tip of the iceberg compared to all the things that Ahab has done. His life has been continually walking away from God, and the introduction of foreign gods into Israel, and causing the whole nation to sin. But here it just seems that he's gone a step too far with Naboth. And he says, just as he was stoned and the dogs came and licked up his blood, the same will happen to you. You're going to reap what you have sown. It's funny that King Ahab got exactly what he wanted. You know, in one respect, Jezebel delivered. This is what Ahab wanted. He wanted the vineyard for a vegetable patch. Jezebel delivered it. He got it. And he doesn't get it taken away from it. He gets what he wants. But the problem is he gets so much more. And you see, when we attempted, when the ugly comes in and suggests to us ways that are contrary to God's ways, walking our own path, the ugly never explains what all the consequences will be. Never goes into detail. Just presents you that lovely picture of the £50 note hanging there looking, oh, it's lost in someone's pocket. I'll take it. You know, and that's just trying to create a vivid example for you. Never goes into the detail of what happens next. And, of course, we've seen here how that Ahab listens to that ugly voice because he continually is bad, or he continually chooses to ignore God's word. He continually chooses to ignore God's ways. He continues to ignore God. And for all those who refuse to listen to God, they will perish. And the Bible tells us that God does not delight in the destruction of anybody. Even King Ahab. You know, sometimes we have a picture of God where God's going, ha ha, got him at last. Yes. God is not like that. God does not delight in the destruction of the wicked. But after refusing and refusing and refusing to listen to God's voice, Ahab is going to reap what he has been sowing. At the very start, we were talking about, have you ever been grumpy or angry? And I said that we always have that option in our life, to listen to the ugly voice of the world, to get ourselves out of our situation. But I just want to encourage you all. I want to encourage myself, because it is so easy. We are vulnerable when we're tired, maybe, when we're grumpy, when things aren't going our way. I want to encourage us all to listen to God's voice, to listen to God's way, to bring our situations to God and let him guide our path. Let him be the one who decides, even if it's not going to get us out of our situation. We need to trust God. Trust that he is a God who loves us. Trust that he is a God who wants the very best for us. Trust that by following his way, we are avoiding trouble that's much worse. God encourages us all to walk his path, to walk the good path, not the ugly path. And just for a big picture, you know, maybe you don't know God, maybe you've never chosen to follow God and follow God's ways. And maybe you're like I was when I grew up, and you don't really see God as a loving God. You maybe see him a bit like a spoiled sport. You maybe think that he doesn't want the best for you. You maybe think, well, I've got all this good going on in my life and I'm going to have to give it up if I'm going to follow this bad. Well, it's completely the opposite way of what the actual truth is. The truth is, all this stuff that you think's good that God wants to save you from, and all its consequences, and actually the stuff that you see as good is probably harming you. And God is the God who created you, who loves you, and who knows what is perfect for you. And he says, come follow me, and I'm going to lead you in paths of life and life everlasting. I encourage you to ask more questions, but I encourage you most of all to turn to God and to say, okay, God, I'm going to trust you on this one, and I'm going to follow you. Let us close with a word of prayer. Lord, I want to thank you for this this record of what went on in the life of King Ahab. And Lord, it all started off so normal. And Lord, a story that in some ways we can probably all relate to when we're in a situation where we feel grumpy, where we don't get our way. And Lord, always the enemy uses this to tempt us away from you, to tempt us away from your path. Lord, I just pray that you help every single one of us to first and foremost to have our eyes open all the time, to be alert to see these things as they truly are, to see that we're being tempted away from your word. And then, Lord, I just pray that you strengthen us. You give us the strength to resist. You give us the strength, Lord, to stick to your word, to be like Elijah, to be good and upright, not because of who we are, but because we choose to listen to you. And Lord, you are the good God who loves us dearly and wants the very best for our lives. Lord, I just commit every single one of us to your care, for your name's sake. Amen.